Okay, then the next one is harsh speech. So harsh speech is any kind of speech that hurts other people's feelings when we are intending to hurt their feelings. If we're not intending to hurt their feelings, but what we say hurts their feelings, then it's not harsh speech, because it could be that they're just being super sensitive and very touchy. So harsh speech is, you know, when we're fully intending to hurt somebody else. And it ranges the whole gamut from, you know, yelling and screaming and telling somebody everything they did wrong for the last 5 years, you know, like somebody loses one piece of paper and all of a sudden everything we've been storing up for 5 years comes out. It can range from that to being sarcastic, to teasing people, especially about something they're real sensitive to, joking about something that they're sensitive to, making them confused so that they feel like an idiot. We do this a lot. I notice sometimes adults do it with kids. You know, they use this kind of sarcastic teasing to make kids confused. Yeah, like telling them that the boogeyman's going to come get you, or this, that, and the other thing. These kind of stories that we say to kids. I think it's real, real cruel. Yeah, making kids afraid when they don't need to be afraid, and all this kind of stuff. So, I mean, there's lots of ways to use harsh words. It also includes swearing at people, or insulting them, putting them down, anything that's going to make them really feel lousy. And this is probably one that we, well, I can't say about other people, but it's one of my favorites. Okay? This one of harsh speech. It's really something. So easily comes out. So the recognition on this one is another sentient being that we want to harm. Sometimes it's true we can get abusive towards the weather or towards our car when it won't start. Something like that. I used to work in a laboratory and the machine wouldn't work, so I used to kick it. So that is, you know, it's abusive, but it's not the full-blown thing, okay? But so it's really, you know, has to do with people. And then the recognition is that insult, lie, abuse, harm, tease, sort of be sarcastic to whomever it is you're intending to direct it to. So you know who it is and you get that person. The intention is that you really want to hurt him. And see, the sneaky thing about this is that sometimes we aren't really very aware of our intention. Or we kind of rationalize it. We sugarcoat it. We sugarcoat it with, well, I'm telling you this because it's for your benefit. Yeah? Or, really? Did I say something that hurt you? You know, when we know really full and well that we did. Or, you know, because there is a wish to hurt, but we really aren't being very frank and honest with ourselves. We're kind of, you know, not looking at our own intention to hurt. So, but the intention's still there. And often we don't really become aware that we had the intention to hurt them until after we hurt them. So something, you know, a lot to look on with this one. And we can do it again out of any of the three disturbing attitudes. So if we use harsh speech out of attachment, it could be, for example, to get in good with a bunch of people who use harsh speech. You know, your whole group of friends is sitting there attacking somebody, or a group of colleagues is really bad-mouthing somebody, and you jump in out of attachment to your reputation, wanting these people to like them, so you bad-mouth the person they're bad-mouthing. Yeah, real easy to do this. Yeah. a lot of our harsh speech, of course, is with anger, you know, resentment, belligerence, holding grudges. It's kind of a harmful, you know, attitude to strike out at somebody. And then, of course, ignorance. Again, thinking there's nothing wrong with it. Yeah, completely nothing wrong with it. I'm doing it for your benefit. Yeah. I'm doing this because I care about you. You know? Yeah. It hurts me so much to say this to you, but... Yeah? At this addiction conference that I went to, one priest was talking about religious abuse. And he was talking about people who, like, quote the Bible before they beat their kid. Yeah? So it's this kind of thing, you know, quoting the Bible. It's for your own good, whatever, and then really laying into somebody. Yeah. Here it's laying into them verbally. And then the completion of the action is that the other people hear and they understand and their feelings are hurt. Yeah. And like I said, the action itself, it can be done in a variety of ways. It can be done with a nice, smooth, calm voice. It can be done with a really harsh voice. It can be done with all sorts of voices. Okay, all sorts of means. And then the completion, of course, they hear, they understand, and they're hurt. No, any sentient thing. Any sentient thing, yeah. Telling your dog off. I mean, as you can look at some of the animals sometimes, they certainly pick up the tone, don't they? Okay, now the next one is idle talk. But we don't need to talk about that one, do we? Yeah. Okay, idle talk is, you know, yakety yak 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 yak. They say that idle talk is one of the biggest hindrances in our spiritual practice. Why? Because it wastes so much time. You know, I'm going to sit down and meditate this evening, but first I'm just going to make a real quick phone call. Yeah, and then 2 hours later, you know, oh, I just got off the phone, too tired. Yeah. So much time spent, yak, 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 yak. This is often why we do our retreats in silence, because then at least we get to the meditation session, you know. If you have a talking retreat, people never come on time. Yeah, they're too busy talking in the middle of the session. When they're meditating, they're thinking about what they're going to talk about after the session. So, mind just goes berserk. And you can really see, too, when you sit down and meditate, a lot of our distraction is we're still involved with the conversation we just had, you know, often which was about yak, 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 blah, 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 or we're planning the next yak, yak, blah, blah, so we can have. Yeah? So that's going through our mind the whole time we're trying to watch the breath. Okay, so the recognition of this is, or the basis of it, I'm sorry, is something which has no great consequence in the matter of affairs, but we're treating it as if it is really important and meaningful. And then the recognition of that is thinking that what you say is important and meaningful. Okay. And the intention is that you want to talk. Okay, and then the motivation, it's quite often out of attachment because we just want to hang out and relax and waste time and make ourselves look big and important, you know, and think that we're so great because we can entertain somebody else, or we want to be entertained, so we sit and listen to somebody else's blah blah. Or we can do it out of anger, which is doing idle talk with the intention of preventing somebody else from doing something. Yeah, so we definitely want to, out of anger, interfere with what they're doing, so we consume their time talking to them. And, of course, ignorance. You know, there's nothing wrong with idle talk. Let's do it. Okay? Now, we have to, when we're getting to the action, well, talking about the intention here, this doesn't mean that all of our blah blah is idle talk, because sometimes we might have quite a good motivation for doing idle talk. Okay? For example, you go to visit somebody in the hospital, they're depressed, you know, or they're sick and they just need their spirits to be lightened up. So you just chit-chat with them. You know, you don't get into a heavy philosophical discussion. You chit-chat. You do something to lighten somebody else's spirits. Or if the atmosphere is really, really heavy and really, really tense, or somebody, again, is very depressed, then with a kind motivation towards them, you can start cracking jokes. Or, again, you know, switching the topic to something lighter. But you're doing this with a very clear understanding of why you're saying what you're saying, and it's designed to benefit the other person. Okay? So the idle talk is really, you know, when it's just out of attachment to wasting time and making ourselves look big or being entertained. But when it's really like, you know, with your neighbor, again, what's suitable for talking with your neighbor? Often it's just chit-chat. Or with your colleagues in the office, you know, it's just light stuff. But you're aware when you're talking with this light stuff that you're doing it because this is the way to make contact with this sentient being. This is the way to keep the door of communication open with them. Okay, so the motivation in this context is really, you know, out of caring concern and to make a relationship with the other person, not just out of attachment and to our own ego or our own amusement. Okay. But getting back to the times when we do it out of attachment, okay, then there's all sorts of different things that are considered idle talk. This is real interesting. Okay, so the action itself is speaking the words. Yeah. And this can range from just monopolizing a conversation, you know, blah, 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 blah. You're doing a monologue for 35 minutes while the other person is desperately trying to hang up because they have to do something, but we won't let them hang up. But all sorts of interesting things are considered idle talk, okay? One thing is talking about legends and myths and prayers to gods that don't exist, okay? Spells, praying for terrible things to happen, talking about with an attempt to persuade somebody, talking about a wrong philosophical belief, okay? So all this kind of stuff is considered idle talk. Also stories, you know, talking about what the person on the right does and the person on the left does and the person upstairs and the person downstairs and the person across the hall. Okay, gossiping about what people are doing. Telling stories from our past. Oh, on my vacation, I went here and I went there. Okay, and again, I'm talking about when we're really doing it out of our own ego, blah, blah, making ourselves a big shot. Stories, jokes, you know, drawing attention to us, to ourselves. Also, you know, it's considered idle gossip when you teach the Dharma to somebody who's not interested in it. Isn't that interesting? That's called true idle gossip. Yeah? So somebody who has no interest or no respect, and you stop them on the street corner and you talk to them, that's idle gossip. Okay? Then also included in idle gossip, bickering, speaking behind other people's backs. We don't do that. This is an interesting one. Reciting liturgies of other religions for no good reason. That's a real interesting one. And I've often wondered about it, you know. I know one time I went, this is when I lived in France, we became quite good friends with some Catholic nuns. And we would go sometimes to visit them and sometimes stay overnight. And so one day we were attending prayers with them, and we were singing the prayers. And they were very surprised that we sang Christian prayers, because they would never say Buddhist prayers. But in our minds, we were very, very clear. It was a very interesting thing when I was saying these prayers, because I was using their vocabulary and their words, but I was translating it all into Buddhist meaning and Buddhist philosophical system. So I think in that kind of case, it wasn't idle talk. But if I were saying it, you know, with, you know, thinking about the meaning, not in terms of Buddhism, but in terms of another system that I didn't believe in myself, then it would become idle gossip for me. So I think we still, you know, sometimes when we're with our family, they may want us to go to a religious service from our previous religion. Last year I went to Passover dinner, and my parents didn't, and I'm a Buddhist, and they're the ones who are Jewish. You know? So sometimes that may happen, and that's perfectly all right, and I think it's really good if, you know, if we spend time, you know, with our family. But the thing is, again, to keep our mind real clear, and if we don't feel comfortable saying prayers, when I was at this Passover dinner, whenever there was a prayer about God, that time I didn't say it. Okay, when they had other prayers about kindness or whatever, that one I said. You know, so we can go and just be very clear about what we're doing, be very clear about what we're believing, so that we're not just wishy-washy, do I believe this or do I believe that? Or even, well, I believe this, but I'm gonna pray that, because then our mouth isn't matching our mind. Yeah. Because the purpose here is just to keep our own mind clear. It's not to pull ourselves away from other people or make ourselves elite, but it's just to make our own minds clear so that what we're doing. And so it becomes idle gossip or not, depending upon whether our mind is clear. Okay. Other things considered idle gossip, singing jingles. You know, we have all the commercials memorized and we chant them, don't we? We should take out our mala every morning. humming, singing, this kind of stuff, you know, just whistling, all this kind of, this is idle talk for no particularly good reason, filling the environment with lots of noise. Oh, any kind of, you know, even when you walk around the office, yeah, that's idle talk, isn't it? Well, see, again, if you're doing it for a specific motivation, you know, to cheer somebody up, so you whistle to cheer somebody up or you crack a joke to cheer them up, fine. But if you're just going around whistling because you're completely mindless and oblivious to what you're doing, or because you want everybody else to know how fantastic you whistle, yeah, because you can do those really neat kind of whistle, then yeah, motivation is yeah. Okay. Also considered idle talk is complaining, grumbling. Why doesn't this happen? Why don't we do that? How come? You know, that's my favorite one. Here's another one. Telling stories and gossiping about government leaders, politics, sports, fashion, when it's a situation in which we're not talking about it for any good reason. You know, we're just kind of being a busybody and we're just into yakety yak and kind of bad mouthing other people. I mean, if you're talking about politics for a really good reason because you're trying to get some information about what's going on in the world so that you can, you know, carry on a reasonable conversation with other people, that kind of talking about politics and current events is fine. It's great. I mean, we should know what's going on in the world and talk about what's happening at the office and things like that. But this is when we're doing it not just to have basic information, but to fill the time or to complain about other people or to distract ourselves. Yeah. So lots of time. Talking about sports. How much time spent talking about, you know, what people do with little round balls? Amazing amount of time spent about that. Okay. Speaking stupidly, you know, just being silly for no good reason. You're silly for a good reason. It's fine. And there are situations in which it's very good to be silly. Yeah. But again, it's being silly mindfully. Yeah. And and then any kind of talk that's in conjunction with the five wrong livelihoods. So this is things like flattering other people. Yeah, we flatter people. Not just giving a compliment because we really want to tell them something good they did, which is praising them, which we should do. Praise, we definitely should do. That's not idle gossip. But flattering people, you know, saying something nice because that way they'll give you something or they'll do something for you. Okay, so that's idle gossip. Speech that we use to hint at what we want other people to give us. Yeah. Actually, hinting is called being polite in America. We're not supposed to ask directly. We're supposed to drop hints. But actually, you know, this kind of speech and talking to get something, you know, without being direct. That's idle talk. Talking to coerce. I never said it was that word, coerce. Somebody into giving you something. That's idle talk. Putting them in a situation in which they can't say no. Talk in which you bribe somebody. Yeah. You say a little nice thing for them, and then they'll say a little nice thing for you, or you say a little nice thing for them, and then they'll give you something, you know, that kind of bribery. Or talk when we're basically being hypocritical. Yeah. Harsh words, if we say, you know, you go tell somebody else off, or you go, you know, call them a name, or whatever it is, telling somebody else to do it, and telling somebody else to idle gossip. Yeah. So all these, then, they not only create it, but we create it. No, that one you have to do for yourself. Okay?